But
hey, friends. I don't know if you can hear
me. Good evening.
How are you? Oh, I get to relax tonight.
Are you feeling like a new lease on life tonight?
did you see me sweating? I don't know if I can look at the audio. I felt like I was dripping.
You were it.
I was gonna click my stop video and wipe up my face, and then I thought, oh, like I'm not even warm tonight. Oh my gosh, I don't normally get nervous speaking, but I just have, well, we all know we've had just so much warfare just with, you know, and then Jeff was home today and it was just like, I you know, he's like, oh, we can go to mass. Well, I go at 8 o'clock. Well, anyway, the whole schedule changes of Ash Wednesday. No, let's go at 7:30. Like, shoot me now. Who can get out of the house and dressed for church by 7:30? But I made it, and I'm like, I'm dragging now. But then he was home, and he thought I was like his personal secretary. You know, like, oh, can you send this off in this invoice? And then I would hear him. He's in his computer's like where it's supposed to be, like a formal dining room area, but we couldn't even. We built this house, but even when we built it, we only had two kids and we could fit six people there. But then, you know, that went by the wayside. You can't, I don't know who designed that kind of idea, but that's his office. And I'm in the other room and I hear him going, oh no. I don't say anything and I wait. I'm working on my podcasting planner. I'm almost done. I'm like going through it all. And then I hear, oh, so I'm like, do you need help?
That's funny.
I have to go in there and he's like, I can't find the screen, because he's taking his ongoing contractor stuff and he minimized it. I'm like, here, honey, I can help you. And I just like, you know, oh, you're such a genius. Yes, I know. Oh my gosh. But that was like 20 times today. And then thank goodness he
had 20 times today, just not 21.
Praise God. Oh gosh. He's just like, he's such he just, technology and Jeff just, you know, like, when he's working, his phone normally calls me at least 3 or 4 times. Just, oh my gosh. So
that is awesome.
Yeah. So, but anyway, how are you, Miss Lucia? Undo your mic, girlfriend.
This is an important detail.
You're reminding me of my husband, honey.
Oh, that's funny.
Well, you look beautiful.
Always, doesn't she?
Yes, both of you. Did you ever model, Cindy?
Model?
Yes.
Hmm.
You consider it, girl. You're beautiful.
You're too sweet.
Prettier in person.
Oh, you are very, very sweet. Thank you for always being that good friend of mine.
And you just got brownie points for the night.
Yes.
Don't you think she is? I mean,
she is.
She's so pretty. And then, you know, in person, she's even prettier. You know, we did this speed dating thing where we all got to meet each other. Every single selfie. First of all, I am self-aware. I cannot do selfies. Like, I tried, turn off the camera, you know, turn off the phone. I'm like related to my husband. So just everywhere we went, I just let the other person use my phone to do a selfie. But
need the new camera holder that Michael just bought me for videotaping. It's a remote deal.
Oh, that's cool.
It's a selfie stick and it's remote. You just set it down wherever you need it and you push a button, it takes it right there.
Have to send me, like, if you just get it on the online, you'll have to send me that link.
Okay.
Hey girl, are you ready for tonight? I get to relax.
Felice is not happy about that at all, you can tell. She's like, woo-hoo.
I know, not funny. But you've heard me speak. I can talk about anything, but like last night, I wasn't nervous until I sat here and then I had this, you know, and I think part of it is I like to have notes or a PowerPoint or something to kind of keep me And I, you and me and a couple of my little notes down here that I had going. And I just, I don't know. Like, I'm in the same exact room with the same exact stuff. And I just, I don't know. So how are you doing, Miss Lucia?
I am good. You know, the Holy Ghost is so faithful. And, you know, I think I'm ready, but when we get started, we'll see. Oh, I've just asked him to speak through me tonight. So, you know, we prepare in the natural all we can, and then we just depend on Holy Spirit to speak through us.
Amen. Amen. So. Yeah, there were some things I shared that were not on my notes last time.
That's probably
well, it was so good. Yeah. You did so good.
Oh, it was really good.
I think really? they've all just dovetailed into each other, you know, and it's mm-hmm. amazing how that's worked.
Really I love good. It.
Is it cold there, Cindy?
Cold, yes, yes. Actually, I was looking at the weather a while, just a bit ago because I was like, it cannot snow next week. It's not allowed.
Oh, it would be nice, though. It would be nice, just a little bit.
Mikey's team, I don't know if I told you guys yesterday, but his team played in Kentucky, and there was like this major snowstorm, and I'm thinking, please don't put him in. Please don't put him in to go pitch. Please, Lord, no. And he didn't pitch, so I was really happy. And then he calls me later, I didn't get to pitch. I'm like, oh, it's too bad, honey. I mean, like this monsoon going through, and I just thought, you know, gosh, you need like a big kid there, you know, he's only like 5'10" and he's 170 pounds wet. You know, he keeps going, yeah, I'm like 180 and I'm going, you know, maybe soaking wet, but you know, we keep
carrying a log at that point, honey.
You had that issue. Like he eats all the time and drinks protein shakes and he just like burns it up so quickly. So, oh gosh.
Well, that's funny. Yeah. We actually had, it was like the sleep, well, like little bitty baby balls of snow a minute ago. They were sad. You could tell it.
They were sad.
Like, we should not be doing this to Cindy.
Yeah. Well, it rained here this morning. It was really raining hard and then it dried up. That's why Jeff was home, because construction workers, unless they're doing inside work, they're home all day. Minimizing screens and going, oh.
It's the way Felicia said, all day.
He did have an appointment, so thankfully the neighbor had some stairs rebuilt, so he was gone. And then I sent him with a list to the grocery store, and he actually did really well. He does well. He loves shopping, so that will be a nice treat for me. I don't like grocery shopping. Unless I have to.
So. That's so funny. I just love it. That's cute. Yeah, so you give him all your chores to do.
Yes, I do. And my son, too, my oldest, loves to shop, Neil. Oh, gosh, he takes my watch in for a battery, and I've sent him to pick up makeup before. Or even before. Now we order everything online.
His reputation.
He's really good. You know, give him a list, and he does text you quite a bit while he's gone, you know, send me pictures. But that's a small price to pay. I don't have to pay a service. Oh gosh. All right, enough about me. I can tell I'm really happy.
Is he the one that went and bought your cards for you when you were sick? Was that Neil?
Yes. Do you remember that story?
I do.
Yeah, I needed cards for birthdays, and he picked, like, and he knew the people, but he picked out, like, the most gorgeous cards ever. How did we talk about that, Lucia? I don't even remember.
It was on one of your podcasts that I listened to.
Okay. Arilla, did I say that? She listened. Really gets paid to listen. That's a great job. You listened anyway. I'm not the one who hired you initially. One of my assistant VAs, she hired Arilla. And so when she was leaving, she goes, well, here's all the people I've been paying for you. And so, yeah, but
Oh, that's fun.
She listens and then she posts information about my shows. That's going to be one of the challenges coming up on my podcast challenge. So you're going to get some really freebie points, Erla. I was going to put
Erla wins that challenge already.
That Erla. I have to give her something harder.
That's cute.
That's actually pretty fun, actually.
What?
To get to listen to them all. Yeah. And Michael's been sitting here saving a bunch of them off for me. And he'll say this one, this and this one. Yeah. Yeah, you have to do that one.
I just recorded episode, are you ready for this? 400. I know I talk a lot, but what the heck could I possibly have said for 400 episodes?
But they're all good so stuff. Different, Felice. Every one of them are so different.
Yeah. I did that one with Meredith Curtis. She was, she and I were recording because she's my money saver. I'm not a good frugal person. I try, but it just doesn't, my love language is let me buy you something. Let me bake you cookies, you know? And so she did a couple on kids saving money and then kids saving money for big purchases. And I'm like, where were you when I needed you and I was younger? But, so while she was on, I go, well, I know this isn't on our list, but let's do my 400th episode. And we're just going to talk about joyful homeschooling. And she and I, we just wing it. So I was really happy to have her on, but.
Those are like the best ones, you know.
You and Lucia did some really great ones together. I love those.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to some more because I've got some fun things with you too coming up.
Oh, okay.
You are.
Tell me when.
Always. I just love it. That to me is the heartbeat. I mean, I like to teach, but then there are so much that comes out, I think, friend to friend, you know what I mean? In community. I keep going back to community because I just see so much that comes out when we're in community with each other. And that's to me one of my sweet spaces. One of my favorite things I've done in a long time was being on your show the last couple times, you know, or shows. It was just, wow. I was like, how fast did that?
Did you hear that one, Erla? She did a One More Child episode. I don't know if you heard that, Erla. And then I interviewed everyone on my writing and podcasting. Mm-hmm. Those were good. Those numbers are great. I haven't looked at them late last time I did. Cause I'm not, you know, we like the numbers, but we do it because like you said, it's our passion. I'll do with Cindy. Cause it's our heartbeat. I get to heartbeat.
That's funny.
Well, the interesting part of it is, though, Felice, is I saw one the other day come through that I had done up a write of. I guess it was Cindy's that I had gone through your extra site and just went through some of Cindy's and put them out there at one point. And it's been a long time ago, but I saw it hit back up on top the other day, and I'm sitting here, wow! And there was four or five people coming, boom, 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 and I'm. That's been a while.
Yeah, what we do is we also schedule. So we have these spreadsheets that are ridiculously, like they're themed. So the girls go through and they organize everything and then we recycle those. So we keep putting them out.
Oh, nice.
So maybe I need to get Erla on the payroll for your podcast. Because I'm working on the Christian Podcast Network. We've actually got a plan for that. So, but I'm going to quit talking because Miss Lucia.
I am excited about tonight, and there will be more of this later. If everybody will mute out, as a matter of fact, I'm going to mute everybody, and then I'll bring everybody back in just a moment. And mute all except I'm going to bring my beloved. Oh, how about that? I keep on muting the wrong people. Mute all. Y'all are probably thinking she is going to be fired. Where are you, Lucia? Let's see here. Unmute you. There we go.
Boom.
Boom, boom. Okay. Just takes me a minute. It has been a long day. And you know what? I am very expectant tonight. I have had one of those terrible, horrible, no good, very bad kind of days. And I'm not speaking it out. It's already over. All that stuff's over. But it was just one of those days. And I thought, you know what? From the very beginning, I thought all along, it is going to be so amazing tonight. So I am really excited. Tonight, I get to introduce you guys to literally one of my very, very best friends. She has been there with me through it all. I'm talking about, she's that friend that sticks closer than a brother or sister. What do you want to call it? Way closer. I mean, I'm telling you that there are times I don't know where I would be if it wasn't for the gift of friendship and this precious friend of mine. So hold on tight. You'll be welcoming Lucia Claiborne in just a moment. She's going to be speaking tonight. And you guys, you want to make sure you have your Bible out. You want to make sure you have your journal out, because this is a night where you're going to want to take some notes. She's going to teach on faith is your key to victory. Just some quick announcements before we totally get rolling. Number one, if you are at Facebook or wherever you're finding us, you can come and join the chat here in Zoom. It's very easy. Look for CindyRushton.com, CindyRushton.com/Zoom. Very easy. It'll pop you right over to our room and you can join us. I just would love to welcome you here to the community. And by the way, this is community here. And I just want to invite all of you to be a part of community tonight, but also community long-term, because this is not the only thing we do. We have a community right on Facebook, and I'm going to drop the link in here. I do believe I can do that. This is one of those days you kind of go, can I do this? But seriously, I find that one of my favorite things right now is truly our community that we have at Facebook, because, you know, there's just something about being around friends who truly get you, who are journeying with you and are doing this life thing with you. And you're going to find with our community is stepping up to the call, and it's in Facebook groups. If you can't find it easy, say you're listening on Facebook and you're going, but Cindy, I'm not seeing all of the links here in Facebook. I want to invite you to just hop over to CindyRushton.com looking for my community. We've got the links right there for you. And of course, you can search for me at Facebook at Cindy Rushton, and you can connect there. I've got have links regularly on my Facebook page inviting you there. Here's what you can expect there. You can expect friends, and you can expect to be able to be you. And I'm just excited about the community we have there. It is truly a community of powerhouse women who are pursuing their purpose and their life calling. So we definitely want for you to be a part of the community there. And then, of course, you can follow me at my website, CindyRushton.com, and follow my e-zine where you can stay updated on everything we do. We have got some cool things coming. In fact, we're going to talk about some of those things tonight, because even in this room, we've got some powerhouse women who are doing some amazing things. We have, of course, Felice Gerwitz, who is here in the house, and she was our speaker last night. If you missed her talk, you have not missed her talk, just grab our set. It's right there at CindyRushton.com. Look at the header, and you can see my link, and or you can find links on any of our websites where you can grab the set. Talk about wow. That's all I can say. And also, my session for Monday night is still available. You can see it online at YouTube. You can see it at Facebook. I left that one open, just a judgment call of mine. So you can see it. You can share it with your friends. You can tell people who we are, that we are wanting you. and them to join us. But Felice has got a podcasting challenge just a few days away. So if you want to have your own podcast, you definitely need to connect with her. Come join us in the room. Ask her about her challenge. You don't want to miss it. But also, here's another thing we've got in the room. I'm so excited. I saw Kim Hewitt. She's going to be joining us Friday night. Oh, man, you guys, you are going to love her and love getting to connect with her and learn from her. Friday night, she's going to be here at 7 p.m. Central Time to speak on walking in your true identity. And I didn't even tell you about tomorrow night because Michelle's not in the room yet. She's coming. So stick with us and hang tight and stay with us tonight. You'll get to speak with both of them after the session. But Michelle's going to be speaking tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Central, and she's going to speak on Jesus is safe. You want to fall in love with Jesus? Just crazy in love with him, join us tomorrow night. You're going to find the gentleman who loves you so much, and will always treat you right. He's never going to leave you, never going to forsake you. Anyway, without any further ado, I am going to sit back, drink my cup of coffee, and enjoy my beloved Lucia. Lucia is from luciaclaiborne.com. She has an amazing podcast that you don't want to miss. And she'll probably tell you a little bit about it in a moment. You just want to follow her. I'm telling you, I do. Poor girl can't get away from me, can you? So anyway, without any further ado, I'm going to open us in prayer, and then I'm going to just turn the mic over to you, Lucia. Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for tonight. Lord, I know that you are in our midst. I just know it. I've seen the enemy fight all day long in my own life because he just wanted to thwart things and frustrate me and distract me. But I've known all along you had a special appointment for me tonight. And Lord, I believe that you have a special appointment for all of us tonight to just come away with you. Thank you that you call us your beloved. Thank you that you are here to teach us, to speak into our hearts, to give us keys to victory and help us with our faith, Lord, so that we can truly grasp onto everything Christ died to give us. Lord, I pray that tonight, I know Lucia's heart is that you will empty her of herself and that you will inhabit and flow through her without any restraint. So, dear Lord, I ask you, just fill her overflowing. Speak through her. Speak to our hearts, Lord. I know that tonight this is the beginning of a conversation that you have with us. And, Lord, I just ask you to anoint this message and use it for your glory and your honor. I know you already will. And Lord, we just sit at your feet. We bask in your presence. We bask and grasp on every word that is your words to us. And Lord, we believe this message is a word to us. Lord, thank you so much for being with us. We praise you. We adore you. We lift you on high. We magnify you. First, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, Cindy, thank you for letting me be a part, just to be a part, a small part of this awesome event that we have the privilege of attending online at our convenience, where it's comfortable and easy for us, where we didn't have to travel anywhere to go to be a part of it. And tonight, I just want to bring you some good news. You know, the word says that Jesus went about doing good, teaching, preaching, and healing all that were sick. And so tonight I want to bring you good news and encourage you to go to the next level with your faith. And thank you, Cindy, for inviting the Holy Spirit, because he is the one. He's the one that makes all this possible. I don't want to do anything without him. He is my helper. He is my paraclete, the one that has come beside me and helped me, and he is going to help me minister tonight. So like Cindy said, I just want to step aside tonight and let you hear him. So have you ever thought about you being the daughter of faithful father Abraham? You know, the same blessings that Abraham had, they are ours because we are born again, and we have those same benefits according to Romans 4. And according to Romans 12:3, God has given each one of us a measure of faith, or some versions say the measure of faith. And when you get born again, you have that faith already on the inside of you, the same faith that Jesus had. I never really thought about that until probably a couple weeks ago. And I just got to thinking, you know, Jesus had to have faith that when he laid hands on people, they were going to be healed. And so it's that same faith that Jesus had that we have tonight. So if you admire someone with strong faith, the only difference between you and them is that they have developed their faith to be stronger. And you can develop your faith. So tonight, let's talk about how you make your faith grow, first of all. You know, the measure of faith that is developed and strengthened, it becomes strong because of the Word of God. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. So, you know, it used to be you just read the Word to yourself, or your pastor would read it to you, or you'd sit down and read it as the family. Now, you can read the Word out loud, but you can also listen to it with audio Bibles. You can listen to a podcast. You can listen to awesome teachers and preachers of the Word of God to build your faith. It doesn't matter really where you hear the Word. The important thing is that you get that Word into your heart. And this will cause your faith to be strengthened. And you can stir up that measure of faith. You can make it grow. You know, if you think about maybe a family member or a friend that's not born again, they don't have that measure of faith, because God gives you that faith when you get born again. And then it's your responsibility to simply develop it and make it strong. So don't let anyone tell you that you don't have faith or that your faith is weak, because that's a lie according to the Word of God. And if you believe it, you will live a defeated life. So let's just take a minute and let's look at what the definition of faith is. If you've listened to my podcast, you know that I use several different Bible translations, because one translation may not speak to you and another translation may have the exact word that you need in the words that you need to hear it. So I believe we all know that New Testament, it says, now faith is a well-grounded assurance of that for which we hope, and a conviction of the reality of things which we do not see. Isn't that, that's pretty awesome. The Good News Translation says, to have faith is to be sure of the things we hope for, to be certain of the things that we cannot see. The King James Version reads, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Let me just stop right here for a minute. You have to have hope for your faith to work, because faith attaches itself to hope. So if you don't have any hope, you're already defeated. Stir up your hope. You know, that is your anchor for your faith to hook onto. The Passion Translation says, now faith brings our hopes into reality and becomes the foundation needed to acquire the things we long for. It is all the evidence required to prove what is still unseen. You know, our faith is what pulls things out of the spirit realm into the natural realm. And everything we get from God out of the spiritual realm, we get with our faith. That's why it's so important to grow your faith, to have strong faith. Let's look at the Amplified Bible. It says, now faith is the assurance, the title deed, the confirmation. You know, the title deed, that means you own it. So you can own stuff before you even see it. Of things hoped for, divinely guaranteed. And the evidence of things not seen, the conviction of their reality. Faith comprehends as fact what cannot be experienced by the physical senses. So this tells me that faith is spiritual. It's not intellectual. It's not in the soulish realm. It's not in your mind. Faith is a spiritual tool that we use to get what we want from God. because the only way we receive from God is with our faith. So these verses tell you the biblical definition. But let's look at what the Webster's 1828 dictionary says. It says that faith is a noun with the Latin root meaning fides, fido, or to trust. There are several definitions of faith. However, the two that I like to focus on is the fact that faith is an affectionate, practical confidence in the testimony of God, or a full and affectionate confidence in the certainty of those things which God has declared, and because He has declared them. You know, the word says that we can be fully persuaded that when we go to God and ask Him for something, that He will give it to us. And I like to follow that up with saying that all of God's promises are yes and amen. So when you find that promise, it doesn't matter how long it takes. When you ask God for it, it is yes and it is amen. And you don't quit until it's manifest. You know, when you use your faith, you are building a mental roadmap to your destiny. Faith is more than just an imagination. It's an expectation that will bring things into manifestation of what you are actually expecting. Now, the four levels of faith that I got revelation of last fall has helped me so much locate where I am and help me help other people locate where they are so they can go to the next level. So if you have your little guide for the conference that we're doing, on page 41, if you'd like to follow along with me, the first level of faith that we're going to look at is Mark 9, 17 through 24. And this is where the man had the little son that was afflicted. And the first level is, Jesus, I believe you can. How many of you believe that Jesus can do something for you? Let's read this. I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. It says, one of the men in the crowd spoke up and said, teacher, I brought my son so you could heal him. He is possessed with an evil spirit that won't let him talk. And whenever that spirit seizes him, it throws him violently to the ground. Then he foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. You know, this is what we call today a seizure. If you know of someone that's having seizures, you can be assured that there is demonic activity that's associated with it. So I asked your disciples to cast out the evil spirit, but they couldn't do it. Jesus said to them, you faithless people, how long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. So they brought the boy. But when the evil spirit saw Jesus, it threw the child into a violent convulsion, and he fell to the ground, writhing and foaming at the mouth. How long has this been happening? Jesus asked the boy's father. He replied, since he was a little boy. The spirit often throws him into the fire or into the water, trying to kill him. Have mercy on us and help us, if you can. What do you mean, if I can? Jesus asked. Anything is possible if a person believes. The father instantly cried out, I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. Okay. I hope that you have had an opportunity to write down from your own life a situation that you may have thought, Jesus, I believe you can do this, but, you know, will you do it for me? Well, we know that Jesus will do it. We know that He can do anything, and He's already done everything that He's going to do. When He was on the cross, the last thing He said is, it is finished. And you know, you all know the story. He went to hell. He defeated Satan in hell, defeated him in earth, and then He went to heaven and sat down at the right hand of Father God. That is the place of authority. You know, that is the place where He has got His feet resting on our enemies. And because we're seated at the right hand of Father God with Jesus, our enemies are under our feet also. Praise God. So that's the first level. The second level of faith is Jesus, if you are willing. So let's look at Mark 1, verses 40 and 41. This is the man that had leprosy, and he came and knelt in front of Jesus, begging to be healed. If you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean, he said. Moved with compassion, Jesus reached out and touched him. I am willing. Be healed. So there's a couple things in this verse that I'd just like to emphasize. The first thing is we do not have to beg Jesus for anything. We don't have to beg God for anything. As a child of God, we simply ask God for what we want in Jesus' name. And then John 16:24 says, you haven't asked me. Just ask me in Jesus' name and I'll do it for you so that your joy can be made full. So he wants to do stuff for you so that you can be happy. So Jesus is willing. That's the point. He is willing. That's the second level. So are you at that level? Do you know that Jesus is willing to answer your prayers? Well, if you are, let's move on to the third level. That level is Jesus, if I can. How many of you know about the woman with the issue of blood? This is Mark 5:21-34. It says, Jesus got into the boat again and went back to the other side of the lake, where a large crowd gathered around him on the shore. Then a leader of the local synagogue, whose name was Jairus, arrived. When he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet, pleading fervently with him. My little daughter is dying, he said. Please come and lay your hands on her. Heal her so she can live. Jesus went with him, and all the people followed, crowding around him. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors, and over the years, she had spent everything that she had to pay them, but she had gotten no better. In fact, she had gotten worse. Have you felt like that in your life? You've done everything you know to do, and it's not got better? So she came up behind him through the crowd and touched his robe. For she thought to herself, if I can touch his robe, I will be healed. Immediately, the bleeding stopped, and she could feel in her body that she had been healed of her terrible condition. Jesus realized at once that healing power had gone out of his body. So he turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my robe? His disciples said to him, look at this crowd pressing around you. How can you ask, who touched me? But he kept on looking around to see who had done it. Then the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell to her knees in front of him and told him what she had done. And then Jesus, you know, he didn't rebuke her. He didn't scold her. He said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over. Praise God. You know, tonight, if you are at the third level, if you're at the second level, I want to encourage you to settle in your heart right now that Jesus, if you can just touch Jesus, he's got exactly what you need, and you take it by faith. You know, the fourth level of faith is Jesus, I can touch you. And I love this. This is blind Bartimaeus. You know, this is where I want to be. I don't know about you, but I want everybody I know to be at this level. To know that if you can just touch Jesus, you got it. You got everything you need. You receive it. So let's look at Mark 10, verses 46 through 52. Then they reached Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples left town, a large crowd followed him. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting beside the road. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." "Be quiet," many of the people yelled at him, but he shouted louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." When Jesus heard him, he stopped. "Does Jesus know your voice? Are you calling out to him? Does he have your attention?" Jesus said, "Tell him to come here." You know, when I think about this, I just wonder if the same disciples that were shushing Bartimaeus were the ones that Jesus told to go get him. You know, I love it. So they called to the blind man. "Cheer up," they said. "Come on, he's calling you." Bartimaeus threw aside his coat. Oh, there's a whole nother story in this. Y'all, throw off everything that is holding you back from Jesus. Jump up and run to Jesus, just like blind Bartimaeus did. Jesus said, "What do you want me to do for you?" "My rabbi," the blind man said, "I want to see." And Jesus said to him, "Go, for your faith has healed you." Instantly, the man could see, and he followed Jesus down the road. So if you're at that third level, I challenge you tonight, let's go to the fourth level. Cry out, "What do you want Jesus to do for you tonight?" Tell him what you want. He'll give it to you because of your faith, okay? Praise God. Well, it would be wrong for me to just share these four levels of faith with you and not tell you how to build your faith. I've already mentioned that faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. But let's go just a little bit farther. Let's see how you can go to that next level. I won't say it's a formula, but I will say it's a process. And when you learn this process, it's like a spiritual law that every time you put it into effect in your life, you will see results if you don't quit. If you don't back down, if you have that bulldog tenacity to stick with it until you see that manifestation, if you will be a warhorse and just stand in the middle of your battle. You know, a warhorse is a horse that will go into battle and he will not stop until the battle is won. He's trained to do that. So the first thing that you need to do is to find your promise in the Word of God. I'm going to use healing tonight because I have found that on Sunday morning when most people come up to the prayer line, they either need healing in their bodies, a family member needs healing, or they need help in their finances. So because it's a spiritual law, pick any topic, any subject that you need and find your promise on it. I'm going to use healing and I'm going to go to 1 Peter 2:24. That's the new covenant promise. The old covenant is found in Isaiah 53, verses 2 through 5. And that word says, by the stripes on Jesus' back, you were healed. It says that in the new covenant. So if you were healed, if you look back at the old covenant, it says you are healed. So if you were healed, you are healed. That's your promise. So you take the scripture and you meditate that promise. And meditate means you just roll it around in your mind. You think about it and you ask God to give you revelation on it. You ask the Holy Spirit to reveal it layer upon layer of the word. Just reveal it to your heart. And then you practice that word. You get that word so deep down in your heart that when you speak it out, you know that you can speak it with confidence. And then you do what it says. You know, the word says, this is how I would say it when I started overcoming sickness in my body. I would say, Lord, I have these symptoms in my body, but your word says by the stripes on Jesus' back, I am healed. And since I don't have healing in my body, I take healing right now in the name of Jesus. I take that covenant and I stand on that promise and I command sickness to leave my body in Jesus' name. That is how you work the word. You know, we have to give the word first place in our life, and then we make it the final authority in our life. A good example of this is, for those of you who have known me about 12, 15 years ago, our world was turned upside down because, first of all, we lost our vehicle. Second of all, we lost our home. And we had each other. And that was about all we had and our stuff. We had no place to put it, but we had each other and our stuff. And so God gave me a promise. And I would like to read that promise to you this evening. I was sitting on my sister-in-law's bed the night that Cindy took our children and spent the day with them and let us take care of the things that needed to be taken care of that day. And so I sat on the bed and I said, God, I don't even know where to read. I just need one promise to stand on. And because Jeremiah 29:11 is probably one of my all-time favorite verses, that's where I started. Because it didn't look like God had good plans for us at that moment. As a matter of fact, if in the natural, we were totally defeated. We were devastated. We were embarrassed. We were full of shame. But God, you know, he's so gracious. He took me to Jeremiah 30, and it's probably about verse 18 in the Message Bible. And it says, well, let me back up to verse 12. It's first of all, it says, your burnout case is good as dead. I said, Lord, thank you for that encouragement. And then he says, everyone has given up on you. You're hopeless. And I thought, well, thank you again. He said, all your fair weather friends have skipped town without giving you a second thought. I said, God, this is not very encouraging. I said, are you sure I'm where I'm supposed to be? He said, keep reading. So I read on down. And then he just spoke to my heart. He said, again, God's message. So he'd already said this, but he said, again, Lucia, I'm going to tell you. I'll turn things around for Jacob. Anytime you see Jacob in the Bible, you can put your name in there. And so I read it like this. I'll turn things around for Lucia. I'm so grateful for what he has done. But I can't help but get emotional because of the love that he showed me and what he has brought me through, brought our family through. And he will. Build homes. The towns will be rebuilt on its old foundations. The mansions will be splendid again. Thanksgivings will pour out the windows. Laughter will spill through the doors. Things will get better and better. Depression days are over. They'll thrive. They'll flourish. The days of contempt will be over. Y'all, that was my promise. That was the verse that I have stood on for 12 years. It took us 12 years to get our a home again. But you know what? God is faithful to his word. You know, Jesus, I took this word and I started saying, Lord, when we were in a two-bedroom apartment that was less than 1,000 square feet with six people, I would get up every morning and I would say, Lord, I thank you that you're rebuilding our home on a new, on an old foundation. We're going to have a new mansion that's going to be splendid again. Thanksgivings are going to pour out those windows and laughter is going to spill through those doors. Lord, I thank you every day in every way. My life is better and better and depression days are gone. We are going to thrive and we are going to flourish. And Father, I thank you that's happening today. Well, I will be, I just got to tell you that that passage has come to pass in our life. God, because we have a covenant of restoration, he has brought restoration to us. You know, I can't speak for my husband, but I know it's true for him also. I have made the word first place in my life. I have made it the final authority in my life. So when it says, I'll have a new house again, when it says, Great is the peace of my children because they've been taught of the Lord. Wealth and riches are in my house because I am the righteousness of God. That's the word I stand on. That's the promise I stand on. That's the promise you can stand on. Let's go one step further. Whatever your challenge is, whatever you're believing God for, I want to encourage you, stop praying the problem and start praying the promise from God's word. That is what is going to change your situation around. And then the next thing is that when Holy Spirit tells you to do something, instantly do what he tells you to do when he tells you to do it, because delayed obedience is still disobedience. So I want to give you a word of caution right here. Not everyone is going to be at the same level of faith that you are. You know, my faith is I could swing out over hell on a cornstalk and spit in the devil's face. Not everybody's there. So when you pray with somebody, when I pray with somebody, I always like to locate where their faith level is so that I can hook up my faith with their faith and see them have victory. That way, that will grow their faith and they'll be ready to go to the next level. You know, Jesus is the same yesterday. He's the same today and he's the same forever, according to Hebrews 13:8. So what Jesus did yesterday for these four people that we talked about, he will do the same for you today. And he will do the same for you tomorrow. Hebrews 10:23 says to hold fast your confession or your profession of faith. You know, sometimes when we get in the middle of the battle, in the heat of fiery darts coming from every direction, sometimes it's hard to stand up and say, not today, Satan. I am standing on the word of God. The word says, and then quote that promise and say, I resist you in Jesus' name. And he will flee. You know, Hebrews 10:35 says, don't cast away your confidence. I think I may have said that. This is the power, whew, glory, and the authority that we have. Isaiah 55:11 says that God's word will not return to him void, but it will accomplish what it is sent out to do. The same is true with your word. When you send God's word out from your mouth, angels hearken to it to go and minister on your behalf. That's Psalms 103:20. You know, I like to give the scripture because you want to go back and find these verses to build your faith. I like what our pastor says. He says, faith contaminated is fear tolerated. You know, 2 Timothy 1:7 says that God has not given us a spirit of fear or timidity, but of power, love, and a sound mind. He has given you his authority, his power to speak to Satan and enforce his defeat every day. You know, we're not supposed to fight the enemy. Jesus has already fought him for you. He's already defeated him for you. The only fight that we're supposed to fight is the fight of faith, according to 1 Timothy 6:12. That's why it's so important to grow your faith to strong faith. And then we just simply enforce Satan's defeat with our words. And tonight, you may be at that fourth level of faith. There's something else that I want to share with you. Someone else that I want to share with you. Because the walk of the Spirit is the walk of power in your life. The Holy Spirit, oh my gosh, when you have an encounter with the paraclete, you know, Jesus said it's imperative that I go away, because if I don't go away, the helper can't come. Hallelujah. We have a helper, y'all. He sticks closer than a brother. He will pray out the perfect prayer for you. He will guide you. He will lead you. He will put you in victory every day of your life. And I'm so thankful I came to Alabama because I learned about Holy Spirit. And I'm going to try to do this because this is a resource that I want y'all to have. So I'm going to pop this in here real quick. I believe I can do this. This is a free book that is called The Walk of the Spirit, The Walk of Power. Yes, The Walk of the Spirit, The Walk of Power by David Roberson. This is a free resource to you that will explain the importance and the power the Holy Spirit has in your life. Now, I want to read 1 Corinthians 14. And I want to help you. Actually, I want to build your faith tonight. The Holy Spirit is already on the inside of you. He's not the Holy Spirit. He is Holy Spirit. It would be like I would say the Cindy Rushton is in the room tonight. Holy Spirit is a person. He's the third person of the Trinity. It is the fullness of the Godhead bodily that lives on the inside of you. 1 Corinthians 14:1 says, now this is just after 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, that tells us if you don't have love, everything else is worthless. So let's just pick it up in 1 Corinthians 14:1. It says, let love be your highest goal, but you should also desire the spiritual abilities the Spirit gives, especially the ability to prophesy. Internet, it's in the authority of the name of Jesus. I command you to work right. For if you have the ability to speak in tongues, you will be talking only to God, since people won't be able to understand you. You will be speaking by the power of the Spirit, but it will all be mysterious. But one who prophesies strengthens others, encourages them, and comforts them. A person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally, but one who speaks a word of prophecy strengthens the entire church. So tonight, I want to introduce you to my best friend, who is Holy Spirit. If you do not have your prayer language, if you do not pray in the Holy Ghost, it would be my privilege and my honor to pray with you tonight and get you filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit and give you your prayer, so he can give you your prayer language so you can receive it. If you want to do it individually, we can wait till the class is over or the session is over and do it. By all means, I do not want to pray. And you are going to walk in the fullness of the power of the Holy Spirit. Jude 20 and 21 says that we need to build ourselves up praying in our most holy faith. That holy faith is praying in the Holy Spirit. So I want to close today with a prayer, and then we can open the mic. If anybody has questions or comments, we can answer them. So let's pray. Oh, Father God, I'm so thankful for the opportunity to share your word, the living word, with your daughters tonight, Father. God, I thank you that your word will not return void, but it will accomplish what we have sent it out to do tonight, Father, and that is to build these precious women's faith and help them go to the next level. Holy Spirit, sir, we invite you to come and minister life to people. Father, I thank you for the fire of Holy Spirit resting on each one of us tonight, encouraging us, reassuring us that the dreams and the goals that God has put in our heart will come to pass because he put them there. And Lord, I thank you that nothing is impossible with you. Father, we call these dreams full of life coming to pass. Father, I thank you our faith has gone to another level tonight because we have heard your word. And Father, I pray a special blessing on each lady tonight. I thank you that you enlarge their influence. They loosen out their tent pegs, Lord, and you bring increase to everyone that's listening tonight. Father, I thank you for the power of the Holy Ghost resting on them, encouraging them. And Father, I thank you, they will not be denied of the promises that God has for them. Father, I thank you again for this, and I ask you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Woo! Talk about yummy. That's a good word. That's a good word. There were a couple questions. I'm going to open. You guys can open your mic if you want to ask things directly. But in the part where you were talking about kids having seizures, demonic spirits, can you explain what the Bible says about that?
Yes. Let me go back to that. Okay. Let's just look at this verse in a little more detail. And whenever the spirit seizes him, so it throws him violently to the ground. So we know that the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. We know that he's not going to come in. He's not going to throw you on the ground. He's not going to take your tongue and make you pray in the Holy Ghost. He is a gentleman. So just by the characteristics of this spirit, we know that this is a demonic spirit. It says that he foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. That is not anything that the Holy Spirit is going to do to you. Jesus asks him, how long has this been happening? And he replied, since he was a little boy. The spirit often throws him into the fire or into water, trying to kill him. Okay, we go to John 10:10 is the dividing line in the Bible. It says the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. So here this verse says that Satan is trying to kill him. The that Jesus come to give us life and life more abundantly. Mm-hmm. So this spirit is not bringing life or abundant life. So the scripture reinforces that this is a demonic spirit. And if it's bad, you want to get rid of it. The Father wanted his son to be free from this. If it was a good thing, we would know that it was God. Mm-hmm. Jesus, what do you mean, if I can, Jesus asked. Anything is possible if a person believes. And so, you know, then the Father goes on, instantly he cried out, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. So, you can look at a spirit.
Okay.
Someone is acting out, and you can tell if it's good, it's God. If it's bad, it's the devil that's influencing their activity.
Mm-hmm. Which scripture was that, Lucia? Again.
Okay, that is Mark 9. Yes. Mark 9, verses 17 through 24.
Okay, very good.
John 10:10.
Okay, and okay, so, you know, I think that sometimes it is so hard for people to believe. This is one thing I really kind of want to unpack because I think you're the perfect person to unpack it with. You know, I think it's hard for people to be able to really separate out what God says about us, what he says about himself, what he says about what he can do, what is him, what is not him, as far as spirits or even ourself, you know, our flesh. So I think that sometimes if we can separate out what these are, to me, that was where I got a lot of breakthrough.
Okay. You know?
So help us with that.
I will. Just one moment.
Okay. I just love this girl. She's the cutest thing ever. Because, you know, here's the thing that, to me, I think when we read the scripture, there's something about the way our culture discredits the word. And we just think, this is some fairy tale out here. This is some story. No, this is not a story. This is actual revelation from God. And yes, we have to really unpack and say, okay, so do I believe what his word says? Because his word is unveiling how he works and how things really are. So, you know, people a lot of times will say, well, why do bad things happen to good people? Why is there sickness? Is sickness?
Okay. Oh, good things. Good people happen.
Oh, you're breaking up. It's wanting to freeze up. Right now I say Satan's got to quit that. We're trying to hear you.
Yes. Do I need to call in on my phone? Would that help?
Do that unless he's just in your space.
Take authority over your electronic stuff. I even went downstairs and tried on the phone. So go ahead and take authority. And that was awesome, by the way. And then I'm going to mute myself.
Praise God. Mm-hmm. Father, you have given us authority over the prince of the power of the air,
ooh, yes,
which is Satan. So God, it's in the authority of the name of Jesus. As I speak to my internet again, and I command it to line up with the word and work the way that God created it to work. Yes. Internet, you will be strong in Jesus' name. Satan, I rebuke you and I demand you to go now. You will not hinder this. I put the blood of Jesus against you. You are a defeated foe in Jesus' name. Mm. Amen. Amen.
That's good.
We have to know our authority. We good people, we are good people that are taking authority over bad situations. We do that ahead of time by speaking the word. We do that ahead of time by praying in the Holy Ghost. God has given us all these tools in the Bible. We need to read our Bible and learn what the Bible says, the authority that we have, the tools that we have that we can use against the enemy. Jesus' blood and the word overcomes Satan every time, because Revelation says we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. When I came to Alabama, I met a
come on.
She had been drawn to spiritual warfare. When you realize the tactics and the characteristics of the enemy, you are quick to put the blood of Jesus against him. She gave me this book. It's called Strong Man's His Name, What's His Game?
I have one too.
I'm telling you, I'm giving you time to write that down. It's by Dr. Jerry and Carol Robeson, Robeson. This book is phenomenal in that, you know, Father God has fruit of the Spirit. You know, we have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, self-control. Well, Satan also has fruit. When you can identify the fruit in a person's life, you can identify the main demonic spirit that is operating. And then, according to Matthew 18:18, you can bind that spirit and you can loose it from its assignment against either yourself or a loved one or a friend. And then you can ask Holy Spirit to come in and fill that vacant spot. Let's see. Here's a good one. Let's talk about a spirit of jealousy.
Just kidding. That wasn't mine today.
This is the first one because I think at some point in all of our lives, we have had to deal with being jealous with someone. Or let me back up. I have had to deal with being jealous. So these are some of the characteristics of someone that has a spirit of jealousy. Cruelty. Extreme competition. They cause division. Mm. They are envious, contentious. Mm-hmm. They're just full of strife and hatred, mm-hmm, anger, rage, murder. They want to get revenge. You know, sadly to say, I've had to overcome a lot of these. But it was not until I got out this book and discovered what the root cause of all my negative characteristics were, that I could start binding that spirit of jealousy and loosing the love of God in my life. This is another one that I had to deal with. And I have to deal with this on a regular basis because I haven't arrived yet. And that's a spirit of haughtiness. I thank God I'm not where I was. But if you see somebody that is self-righteous or rebellious, they reject God, they're contentious, they're scornful, they're arrogant or kind of smug, the root of that is the spirit of pride. And you can bind that spirit of pride and loose the spirit of humility and a contrite spirit. I can't tell you the hours I have spent on my face praying against the spirit of haughtiness. Let's see. I think this will, here. Okay, this is a huge, huge tactic of the enemy that people have no idea is a spirit, and it's called the spirit of infirmity. With the spirit of infirmity, you have a bent spine. You know, you can either be bent over or you could have a crooked spine. You could be impotent, frail, or lame. You can have arthritis, oppression, lingering disorders. It just hangs on. A cough that won't go away just hangs on. That's a spirit of infirmity. Oh, you are not. Ah, I bind you. Asthma, hay fever, allergies, weakness, cancer. All of this comes from a spirit of infirmity, of Satan trying to kill you, trying to defeat you, trying to destroy you, trying to steal, kill, and destroy. So we bind the spirit of infirmity and we loose the spirit of life and the gifts of healing into your body.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's 8 o'clock and I did not wake up. But if you have the opportunity,
okay. Alicia, I just lost you.
Okay.
Strong man.
I think Satan.
Hold on. Okay, gotcha. You're good. Thank
you. Okay, thank you, Holy Ghost.
Can you hold the book back up?
The blood of Jesus is our defense. Thank you, Holy Ghost.
And then the authors. Can you hold that up?
Yep.
Okay, got it. There you go.
Let me ask you this. Did you hear me talking about the spirit of infirmity?
Yes.
Did that come through? Okay.
Yes. And you know, I totally, I think that, here is what I see. I think that the enemy also, one of the biggest things he does is he lies about these things. It's like he wants for us to just totally not know that this is his work. These are his cronies, and this is how they hit us. And it's, what was it, Charles, that they said that the greatest deception that the enemy has is convincing us that he doesn't exist or that that's not him. And yet these are very, very real works of his kingdom. So,
yeah. And, you know, the word tells us not to be unwise to the enemy's schemes.
Mm-hmm.
I want to equip women and men to enforce Satan's defeat every day of their life so they can walk in victory. God created us to walk in victory, so we do that by knowing what belongs to us.
Yes, yes. Okay. Here's another, and she was asking, did you say faith contaminated is fear what?
Oh, yes, that is good. Tolerated. Faith contaminated is fear tolerated. You know, God has not given us the spirit of fear or timidity, but of power and love and a sound mind. There is a spirit of fear that is gripping people, and it paralyzes them. It stops them in their tracks. I have been there. And the only way I overcome fear was putting the word on it. I had to say, fear, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. You will leave my mind. You will leave my body. You will leave this building. I have the mind of Christ, and I am not afraid of you. The blood of Jesus is my defense, and it is on you now. Oh, fear opens the door for the enemy to just come in and steal from you. That's why we have to build our faith to know with the Word of God and know what the Word of God says.
Mm-hmm. So good.
I get excited, y'all.
Well, I just want to unpack this just for a moment too, because I was so hit by fear and I came down, Charles and I came down to see you and Linda, and you guys took us through what is called the courts, going to court. And so one of the things that was revealed that the enemy had been coming against me, I didn't tell you what I was going through, but the Holy Spirit revealed that it was a spirit of fear coming against me. Can you explain to them a little bit more about what that means and how that works? Like, just take us through some of that so that you can explain it a little better. Because I believe that can set people free. By the way, the answer to this is that God literally set me free. After I had been being so tormented and so chased down and hounded, and it was nothing more than spiritual attack from and warfare from the other side. And me not being able to really, I think God also wants us to be in relationship with others so that there's just points where our friends, the godly women, godly men, can come alongside of us and can literally be what God has designed the church to be in community. So explain that a little bit, if you don't mind.
Yes, thank you. Well, the spirit of fear, like I've already quoted 2 Timothy 1:7, that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. The roots of fear come from works of the flesh, according to Galatians 5:19-21. And Matthew 7:20 says that by their fruits, they will be known. And the symptoms of the spirit of fear are phobias, torment or horror, nightmares, terrors, the fear of death, heart attacks, the fear of man, anxiety, stress, untrusting, or doubt. And I'm just going to hold this up here and let y'all see if you can see that. And maybe write down some of those Bible verses. Is that reading it backwards? How funny.
No, it's showing it perfect. Showing it perfect.
Okay. We can get you more of that, a picture of it if you need it. Fear, when you're in fear, whatever you're fearing, the fear is going to draw that into your life. That's why it's so important to walk by faith. Because faith is going to draw the positive things into your life. Fear is actually putting faith in what Satan can do instead of putting more faith into what the blood of Jesus has already paid the price for you to walk in. So you don't want fear because Well, here's a good example. If you fear cancer because cancer has maybe run in your family, the word says that we have been redeemed from the curse of the law in Galatians 3:13. Cancer is part of the curse. Sickness is part of the curse. Lack and poverty are part of the curse. So if you have any of that in your life, you are living in the curse. You take the word of God and put the word of God on that curse and remind Satan that he is defeated. As a born-again child of God, you have a covenant with Jesus. That covenant includes wealth, prosperity, healing, wholeness, soundness in your mind, and you take it by faith. So if you have, okay, let's say you have lack. Let's say you can't make it to the end of the month. The first thing you do, if you're not tithing, you start tithing and give God what belongs to His. Then you put the word of God in your mouth. Psalms 112 says that wealth and riches are in our house because we are the righteousness of God. We are the righteousness of God because of the blood of Jesus. Nothing we do makes us righteous. We make right choices to live a holy life acceptable to God, but the blood of Jesus paid the price for us to be wealthy. And wealthy or rich, it simply means that you have more than what you need so that you can be a blessing to someone else. What I call rich may be different than what Bill Gates calls rich. It's having more than enough to be a blessing to other people. And I like what Jesse Duplantis says. You will never have what you criticize someone else having. So, you know, if you think, well, I'll use myself as an example. I used to be so jealous of other people because they had things I wanted. And I didn't know how to get them. Internet, I'm telling you in the name of Jesus, be stable. So when I got revelation that God had blessings for me, He has enough to go around for everybody. I could stop being jealous. All I had to do is ask Him for what I wanted. The problem was I didn't know what I wanted. I just wanted what they had. So He has taught me how to dream again. He's taught me how to believe Him for the extraordinary things in life. You know, we were blessed to go on a trip that was a dream of ours since Danny was a child. And when we were standing in New York watching the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, I said, God, You're going to have to show me how to dream because this is the biggest dream that I had, and You have just fulfilled it. So, you know, get around people that are going to stretch you. Get around people like Cindy and Felice that are going to pull out your gifts and your talents and see what's on the inside of you and encourage you to go after them.
So good, so good. Okay, I'm going to quit asking all the questions and let you guys open up your mic and ask your questions. Oh, I love it.
Let me ask this. Did I answer that about fear? I felt like I went off on a rabbit trail.
Oh, you know what? Well, maybe explain to them what is theirs by going into the court of heaven. Do you mind? I mean, because that is to me. Huh? Can you hear me?
I can. I don't mind at all.
Okay.
Linda is listening in tonight.
Yeah, I muted her a minute ago.
Oh, okay.
Here you go, Linda.
Linda, go ahead, Lisa.
Okay. Static, Linda. Honey, hold your phone still, okay? Linda has got a wonderful gift that God has given her and that she can see explicitly into the spirit realm. And she hears the voice of God explicitly. A gift that Linda gives the body is to take them into what is called the court of heaven, and we go into the mobile court. We like to do it together. And I love to see Linda take people to court because I know I am in the presence of God and we are defeating Satan. There's a protocol when you go into court, and it's simply the same type of protocol that you use when you go into a courtroom here on earth. You know, you can read in Daniel about the court of heaven and how God.
Okay, I'm going to mute Linda. I'm so sorry, Linda. It's got some interference.
That's okay. Linda, can you hear us?
Yeah.
Okay. Can you hold your phone still and just explain how to take people to the court of heaven?
If she's on her phone and by a computer, it will make static. So if she's watching the video and is on her phone, it will interfere.
Okay.
So I don't know if she's on the computer too. But if not, maybe walk away, Linda, or I don't know.
See two different things.
Oh, is she just on the phone?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Okay, Linda, can you hear me?
And it could be that your headset, if you have a headset on, it could be like rubbing your hair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, well, let me just try and explain this for her because she probably is not going to want to talk.
Okay, good. I'm going to mute her just so that there's no interference.
Okay. You ask Father, when we go to the court of heaven, because my gift is different, I don't see what Linda sees. So I have to take it by faith. And God, I just asked God, you know, God, why can I not see this? And he said, Lucia, we walk by faith and not by sight. Mm. So my level of faith, because I don't see yet, is that I just know because I'm praying and walking through this protocol that God hears me and he is doing what he said he will do for us.
Mm,
Linda describes it explicitly. And when we ask Father God to convene the court, thank you, Holy Ghost. I was trying to remember the protocol by memory. And God said, or Holy Ghost said, you have it. Just go to it. So thank you, Holy Ghost. So we ask Father God, who is the judge, to convene the court. And then we ask for the accuser to appear. And the word says that the accuser of the brethren is Satan. So we are asking Satan to appear in the courtroom of heaven. And then we ask for the accusation to be heard. And I cannot tell you how many times Satan has to come. When Father God calls him, he has got to come. He will say, we don't want to be here. We know what happens when we come into this courtroom. And so he has to come. Principalities have to come. The strong man has to come. Demons have to come. And then we ask for the accusation to be heard. And Father God tells the demons that they have to tell us what the accusation is against the person that we're bringing to court. And then we have to agree with that accusation because of all the people that we have taken to court, the accusation has always been spot on. Say he's been God's children. So, and then we state that the blood of Jesus is our defense. And that's what the Word of God says. The Word says that the blood of Jesus is our defense. And then we ask for a verdict from Father God, who's the judge, and we ask if there's any documents that need to be received. And I love this. I can just see this in my mind. That when you slam that gavel down, you hear that wood hit on wood and the verdict of not guilty. We are not guilty because of the blood of Jesus. Jesus' blood, he paid the price for us to be free. And for us not to walk in freedom and liberty is like a slap in Jesus' face, like his blood is not enough to set us free. And so this is a tool that God has given us to help set the captives free. It's another level of praying and communing with God in a legal, some people like legality. They like to be under the law, even though God, when he sent Jesus, Jesus fulfilled the law, every jot, every tittle. So we don't need to put ourselves back under the law. But this is a tool that we can use to get free, to walk in victory, to set the captives free. Who doesn't want to be free? Who doesn't want to be unbound? Who doesn't want to be liberated? You know, praise God.
And you know, Lucia, I think that the thing about it that to me was so important was this is first of all, our Abba Papa, our Father, is the judge. He is the Almighty on the throne. He is the one in the courtroom who declares guilty, not guilty. I mean, we see this when Jesus was even dealing with the woman taken in adultery. You know, he was the one who could say guilty, not guilty. We saw that there as well. But what I loved is there was just this seriously, like, I know how to claim my freedom, but there was a place where I just kept being tormented and kept being pursued by the enemy. And this brought a freedom that I did not, I was needing help with this. And I so appreciate it. And if there's things that you have struggled with over and over and over and again, you've not been able to overcome it, you've not been able to have the victory that is yours, and this is yours. It's what God says is yours. This is what Jesus paid the price for this. He said it's finished. It's done. This is his. This is his gift to us. This is our inheritance. If there's something that you're struggling with, it is very much worth it to take that to the Heavenly Father, because I'll tell you, he will do the work that needs to be done to set you free in whatever area it is. Yes. I know Charles had a different area than I had, that the enemy, and you could literally see his beautiful, you could see the spirit of peace just come all over him. It was so amazing and so beautiful. And the enemy did not have a place to be able to come back and torment again.
Yes. And let me share this real quick.
Yes.
This will build your faith. Y'all, when those demons come in, they know that it is over. And I never really thought about this. I mean, I was into binding and loosing, according to Matthew 18:18. Mm-hmm. And the first time that I went to Linda for her to take me to court, we got into the courtroom, and this little demon, like, he rolled in. And, you know, the protocol says we ask for the accusation to be heard. And the first thing that demon said was, nothing about this family has been easy. Ooh. And I thought, God, that's because I have got him so bound up, according to Matthew 18:18, that he couldn't do anything. So, Linda has such a gift to describe what is happening in the courtroom. And so when she would say, the blood of Jesus is your defense, the blood of Jesus is our defense. And the blood, when applied to demons, they dissipate. I can't tell you that there was one time a demon came in and he was a principality and he just stood erect and he would not bow to God. He said, I did not bow to you in heaven. I will not bow to you here. And God just annihilated him on the spot. He turned to powder. Now, I will tell you that this probably, to your natural mind, seems way out there. But I know your spirit man is jumping up and down saying, I know this has to be real. Yes, it is real. The spirit realm is more real than this flesh world that we live in. And we can take authority over demons and demand them to leave. We can go to the court of heaven and use this tool to annihilate them where they will never come back into your life. If they do, if that torment comes back, it is another group of demons that have come up against you, and you can take them to contempt of court for contempt of court and ask for a decree of divorcement and tell them to go.
Yes. And,
you know, Linda, we have set up a time to do this. And I will just say that if you, like Cindy said, if you have an issue that is lingering and you can't overcome it, you can't pull that mountain down. I posted my number. I posted my website. Text me. And we will set up an appointment to take you to court. You cannot just take anyone to court. We can't just say, oh, well, you know, I'm just going to take Cindy to court. I'm just going to take Felice to court. No, you have got to have permission to take someone to court. And you can take a spouse. You can take a child because you have the right of redemption. And they are the next of kin. Otherwise, you have to have permission. You cannot take them. It would be devastating. There would be severe consequences if you did that.
That's beautiful. Okay, I think that we just gave y'all some good meat. There is no bottles in the room tonight. Anybody want to jump in?
I do. I want to jump in. You know, Lucia, I know I've been in the charismatic renewal within the Catholic Church for many years. And so I have seen unbelievable miracles.
Yes.
You know, a lot of healings and things like that. And I remember praying with a group of people when it first began, and I thought, this is really weird. You know, you guys are just, this is just not within my comfort zone. And I was praying with a friend of mine's husband. He's an orthopedic surgeon. And he was praying for my husband's back problems. And so one of the things he said is, okay, you know, Jeff, would you sit here and let me look at your feet? And, you know, they're a little bit, you know, feet, and typically when you look at them, they're not going to be exact, you know. And so he said, we're just going to pray that your leg grows.
That's right.
I looked around, though. This is where my faith level was. And I'm like, okay, no one, and everybody else, like, closed their eyes, laid hands on him and started praying. I'm just going, okay, this is weird. And he goes, well, I need somebody to keep their eyes open. And I go, yeah, that will be me. And so I watched his leg grow. And yeah. I'm just like, oh, my gosh, his leg's growing. And everyone's like praising God and whatever. And he tells Jeff to stand up. And I'm going, you know, like, this makes no sense. You're a doctor. You could do surgery. You can make money. You know, this is what my flesh is thinking, right? And we had already been through the book of Corinthians. I didn't even tell you that part. This was my Bible group, and we had been through all of Corinthians. You know, we had studied it, and like for a month, okay? So, like, this should have been no surprise, right? And Jeff gets up, and he's great. And then Bob, you know, Dr. Martinez, he goes, okay, so, like, tomorrow the enemy's going to make you think that you're not healed. And so the way he does that is he tricks you into thinking you're not healed. So it's going to be in a different section of your back. Okay. It's not going to be the same exact spot. So the next day was Saturday. We went to the beach and the kids are playing there. We had just the two then, they're little. And my husband's sitting there and can't get comfortable. And he had brought, you know, he loves the beach so much. He brought the newspaper. He only went for me. He did not like the beach. And so he's sitting there under the umbrella with his little newspaper, you know, kind of like, oh, look at the waves, you know, and he's just can't. And I'm like, what's wrong? You know, why are you moving? He goes, oh, my back hurts. I go, because Bob told us what to do. He said, put your hands on him, you know, because after I see this miracle and then we're praying for other people, all this stuff's happening. And he goes, put your hands on him and rebuke it. And so we're sitting on the beach and Jeff's like, no, it's somewhere different. I'm going, didn't you hear what he said? You know, because I'm like, you know, got it. You know, now it's processing. So I lay my hands on him and I'm like, in the name of Jesus, you know, you are healed. And so I went through this whole thing, you know, commanded spirit, you know, infirmity to leave, put it at the foot of the cross. I always do this, like, put it at the foot of the cross, you deal with Lord Jesus, because your blood, you know, that's what you're talking about, is the blood of the Lord. And so all of a sudden I'm like, okay, so how do you feel? You know, get up and walk. I'm like really into this now. Mm-hmm. And he was better, you know, and his back didn't hurt. And so, you know, it was just like, okay, come on up, you know, let's start praying for everyone. And, you know, you forget the power that we have as Christians. And, you know, I just left a prayer group Saturday where people were healed. And all we did was, there's no secret formula. We just praise and worship. There was praise and worship band. We praise and worship the Lord. We sang praises to him. And then, you know, the speaker gets to the mic and she's a normal person. Mm-hmm. And she starts calling out, the Holy Spirit starts giving her these people who are going to be healed. And she was so funny because she said, you know, if you want to claim that, you know, that word, just raise your hand to Papa Jesus, you know, raise your hand, you know, wave to the Father. And so, you know, by the end, people were healed. And one thing I do want to say, in all of the years that we've been working in these ministries, is that when people are ill, a lot of times it's because you have, you know, buried that hurt and that anger and you get sick. Like when we were stressed about our financial situation, when the economy hit, you know, my husband diversified and both jobs are in construction, home inspections and, you know, new construction, you know, they're both the same thing. And, and so, when I was so stressed, I kept thinking to myself, I'm going to be sick. I'm going to be sick. I need to let the stress go or I'm going to get sick. So what happens, you know, not immediately, but it took some years and I got sick and I kept it pretty hidden. And so I just said to the Lord, okay, Lord, two things. I'm pleased as before. Number one, let me find out what's wrong with me. And number two, let it not be life-threatening. I just wanted, you know, and so both things, like there's not, I'm fine. My blood clots very well. So that's what the issue is. So, but they didn't give me anything. Nope, you know, and so I'm just claiming that I'm healed. And I had an eye issue. And one of the things that was called out Saturday was healing of eyes. So I'm claiming that one. So, you know, it's just like, we have to remember that. It just sounds like, you know, oh my gosh, you know, if you're sick, then you're just not following the Lord. No, that's not what Lucia's saying at all. You know, if someone has a seizure, they must have a demon. That's not what she's saying at all. You know, it's just that, you know, some of it can be because of a medical, you know, thing or the weather or whatever, but we have to come against that too, is what Lucia's saying, is that we have the tools that we can use. And it's like our spiritual tool chest. And it takes practice, Lucia. This wasn't anything you learned overnight. And if you want the practice, one of the good things, I'm going to do a commercial for you, Lucia. If you go to Lucia's website, because I got her, I went in and just bought everything she had. Typical me, right? So, because you could save money in the bundles.
As you all should.
Right. Well, I'm sending you a surprise in a day or two. I'm not even going to tell you what it is, Lucia, but I had a brainstorm as I was looking at them. But I'm very humble here.
Just love you, Felice. I just love your spontaneity. Thank you.
Sorry, guys. This is how I normally am. Like, if it's something I can't do, I just tell you I can't do it. But if I get this really good idea, I tell you it's a good idea. I'm like, because I'm just like looking at Lucia and Cindy, who know me. Guys, I'm like apologizing. You guys don't really know me.
Don't apologize. Don't apologize.
Gosh. Okay. So anyway, but her books take you through a lot of what she was talking about. They are, you know, like the victorious living is what she calls it, but like they're just praises to God. And they're the, you know, like what one of the things I was thinking is like, I've got this background here, you can't see it, but I'm going to like just print them out and put them out. And just, you know, you can use them as memorization verses or you can use them as copy work. And she's got the kids version too. And so thank you, Christina. A little on the wacko side here. But anyway, but they're so good. And that's kind of your practice. You know, when you want, if you want to be, you know, a victorious woman, or you want to have joy in your life. You've got to memorize these scriptures. You've got to live it, and you have to claim it. You know, I'm not, it's funny because, you know, just like I was really hesitant with, you know, Bob saying, oh, do you want to watch his leg grow? And we're just going to pray healing. And everybody's like, yeah, let's do it. Just like, what's wrong with these people? You know, get me out of here kind of a thing. And then I see this miracle, you know, it's like, Lord, help me in my unbelief, right? Isn't that, there's a scripture. I'm Catholic. We just paraphrase. We're like, we know it's in there somewhere. And then we go look it up, right? Online. But anyway, you know, when that happened, it was like the scales were just torn off. And after that, there was just no going back for me. And then, you know, I hadn't even really been to a charismatic prayer group they were like easing us in with Corinthians, and then they unleashed it all upon
me. With Acts,
I know, right? Yeah, well, that was next. The Acts was next, Cindy.
There you go.
We did the gospel.
You made a good point in that you couldn't wrap your mind around his leg growing out. And I just want to say that you cannot wrap your limited mental capacity, your soulish realm, you can't wrap that around spiritual things. You can wrap your spirit man around soulish things, but the things that happen in the spirit realm, you have to take them by faith and know by faith that it's real.
Right. That's a really good point, Lucia. Yeah.
And the other thing is, you know, the word says that the latter rain is going to be greater than the former rain. God is pouring his spirit out on all flesh. He is crossing denominational lines because people are hungry. They are tired of being beat up and beat down, and they want the power of God in their life. They want to live a victorious life. And you do that by hooking up with Holy Ghost.
And it's amazing where he takes you, because you guys know, you know, a little bit about my schedule, all the podcasts, the networks, we're going to do a challenge, you know, okay, Cindy grabs us into this 1 week, you know, the thing we're doing, no, and then I'm leaving next week to go see my kids, you know, yay, I can work in the car. But on top of all that, you know, when the Holy Spirit leads you, like I get a call from church and my pastor told the lady who's in charge, like, now we're helping with the marriage ministry. And I'm just like people who are getting married, because they're figuring that they need mentors, you know, like you guys have been doing it forever. Catholics are finally like, oh, we need mentors, you know, so we're a little bit behind the ball here, you know. And then they had this like the most boring thing I've ever seen, this book they gave us to look at. So I said, you know, I don't play by rules, right? You know, it had a lot of scriptures in it, but it's anyway. So you're going to pray for me for that too, because that's not, you know, Jeff and I feel led to do it and we can share, but like we said, you know, anything that we've ever done, it's like one of those like warnings, don't do this at home, you know, kind of a thing, you know, that our marriage works, but it's taken work. But so anyway, but I guess the point I'm making is that when you're open to doing what the Lord wants you to do, he's just I say to him, like, do you not know my schedule? Like, what part of my calendar didn't you look at, Lord? And you know, Marnie Swedberg recently, she did a talk and she said, you know, she said to the Lord, okay, take something off my plate and I'll do that. Mm-hmm. And he said, no, you're going to do it with all, and Cindy, you know, right?
Oh, yeah.
You're juggling work and school and super, you know, mind-blowing assignments, like she shares a little bit, and I'm just like going, thank you, Lord, that I'm not in school right now. Well, I don't think
this is the finals week in school.
Oh, God.
I mean, and so that, I kind of
indeed.
I think I got something. I don't know.
Finals week in school, and you know, there is no okay. Here's what I do know: there's never the perfect time to do the things, especially if you look at your life and you're looking at the things that to me are really the most important things, the things that will make the biggest difference. You're going to find the most warfare there, And you're going to find that there's never time for that unless you are totally intentional about it. I was reading today where my paper tonight that I will finish after we're done will be this is a book that it's not even the very best book. It's not a bad book, by the way, but it's not the very best book I'm having to read right now. Two of them are from the 1930s and they're phenomenal. But this book, Leading on Empty, is one of the texts. And I was reading it this morning and he talked about one thing that just really popped with me, and it just popped again as you said that, was that he said that your marriage, which early on seemed to maintain itself, and this is a lot of things that we do, mm-hmm. will no longer survive the way it used to. Healthy marriages require intentionality and planned investment. So will your waistline, your family, your ministry, your faith, and your emotional healing. The scriptures exhort us to run in such a way that you may win, and it is not automatic. If you choose to win, you have achieved half the victory. If you do not choose, you've gained half of your defeat. And, you know, obviously I like this book a little, if you see all the little marks there. But I was thinking earlier today that there are two things. Number one is everything has to be intentional. That really matters. Mm-hmm. And the other word, it was interesting you started speaking on this, Lucia. The word God gave me really to unpack this week with this lesson for school has been about hope. About what that really means, because the absence of hope really opens a door for the enemy to come in with his cronies and to really lay siege in some areas of our life. It's like literally like a broken gate to a city where it just basically, literally draws the enemy into the space, because we know that the Bible tells us that hope deferred, it makes us sick. It makes us sick. And there's nothing quite like having a hope deferred in any area. But it's not just that. There are so many ways that we let the enemy come in and ransack us and really hit us and hit us hard. And to me, again, it goes back to if there's an area where the enemy's hitting us long term and over, and we can't seem to get victory over that, I really do believe that the best thing you could ever do is join in with people who can come in and pray. Talking about a leg growing, I had never ever seen anything like that until a couple of years ago. And kind of my funny story of God drawing me into a place where literally he had me sitting in a church where there was real demonstration of the Holy Spirit in a beautiful way, because I would have ran if it was a crazy way. You know me, don't you, Lucia? But I would have ran the other way, because I'm very much, you're going to have to show me in scripture and call it lack of faith if you want to, but I'm going to have to know that what you have is going to match up to scripture. I do that when I'm teaching. I do that when I'm sharing the prophetic, and oh, you better believe I do it whenever I'm praying for healing over someone. But I actually came to that church, you'll love this, through a prophetic word. And it was really powerful for me, because I had been operating, I shared this with Lucia, I've been operating in the prophetic from the time I was 8 years old and did not even have a clue of what it was, because of my denominational teachings and some of the things that I just didn't have a culture of the prophetic that I was operating in. And I went to actually mind my own business and get my hair done. Don't you know, a lot of things in my life have happened around hair. it's kind of funny. A lot of things this week have not happened around hair. but I went to go get my hair done. Didn't want to talk about anything. I just wanted her to nurture me and to just fix my hair for me. And as I sat there, you know, just really kind of soaking and resting. At the end, when I was paying out, my friend, she's now my friend, she She said, can I give you a prophetic word? Now, let me just back up and tell you the background on what's about to be shared with you guys, because it was pretty amazing. I had gone through a season where I just went through so much brokenness. Everything that I walked out of the season with was broken, and it was intentionally broken in many areas. Funniest thing, okay, fast forward to this word. She says, can I give you a word? And I was like, yeah, maybe she'll tell me like what to name my ministry now. It was like really kind of funny that would just be the only thing that would pop into my head that I needed help with. And she starts to speak and she says, Cindy, she said, when I look into your eyes, I'm seeing a brokenness. She said, I'm not saying you're broken. She said, but what I'm seeing is a brokenness. It's like all before you, it's like there's a mirror that's shattered before you, and there's all these little pieces, and you're feverishly trying to pick them back up. And she said, you don't want to look down because you're afraid of what you might see looking down at it. And she said, but you're feverishly trying to pick it up because you don't know what things are going to look like in a year or 5 years or 10 years. Now, let me just tell you, she had no clue of how broken everything was. She also did not know that all through the years, I kind of prided. You guys have followed me. Some of you for many, many years have followed what I teach. And the Lord has given me beautiful gift of being able to see and be able to see long-term in a lot of areas. I think some of that is because of the calling that I carry and my purpose that I'm here. But at this point, I seriously couldn't have told you what God was going to do in a day. I didn't even know what he was doing right that second. And it was a very hard place for me, a very difficult place, because I wasn't used to being in that place of not being able to see. I felt literally blinded. Definitely, she had no clue. She had me at that point. Then she told me a couple things. She told me I needed to not be dating, and that I did not, that I needed to go to Slow Burn Church. It was so specific. And it ends up, I get into Slow Burn, the community there, the very first service. God wrecked me. And I stayed wrecked for, what is it, maybe 2 years or 3 years. And he was bringing me to that place of just bringing his healing balm, and he would heal one little area, and then he would bring me the next service or the next week, and he would heal another little area, and he was just bringing me to a place of restoring me. And this did take time. So if there's some things that you're having to take some time for the Lord to do a mighty work in you, this could be, it could be that, I mean, it took a long time for me to get that broken, to get to that place. And even since then, I've had words where someone shared with me one day, God is not going to let you be 80% healed. He wants you 100% healed, 100% complete, because he's a God that's 100%, and he's going to bring you to that place. So I've had lots of that. But I remember one night talking about legs being grown. It was literally at Slow Burn. And I did not know what I thought about all of that, because, you know, I've went through some tough times. I've lost babies. I've had sicknesses that were very difficult to overcome. I had there's just so much that in the physical realm that the enemy was trying to tell me his story was the story. And so that night, I was there, Bill Bennett. If you're not familiar with him, he is an amazing man of God. He actually was here starting a church, and the Lord called him back to Cape Town to be back down there with a church that he has there. And I'm sure he'll be back, because we get him from time to time. But Bill was there, and he prayed over one of my friends, and I literally watched her leg have to obey the word of God and grow. And there was something happened to me that night that was totally set free in some areas. And just watching that, because when we see the real work of God in any way that's real and authentic, we have to do something. Our body, our spirit, our mind, our being, it has to respond in a different way. And so, funny thing, because I was able to really see that night, and I was a part of that particular healing. I was downtown with helping to minister with homeless one night. And there's a lot of stories between this and that, because there was like one night that the Lord gave me supernatural. I mean, like I could see some things and a person that was really steeped in witchcraft. And we were able to pray some things. And that person, that was a night where, have you ever seen that some of the different things where somebody's taking a sword and whoosh, 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 whoosh? Well, yeah, that was kind of me that night. I loved it. It was like so addictive. And so that night made an impression on this particular person. And they brought back a relative of theirs the next time I was there. And they said, let her pray. And what the deal was, they had been dealing with almost being crippled and from some of the things that were going on in their life. And the Lord grew his leg. And it didn't go all the way to the full length, but he was really grappled. He was kind of scared when it started to grow. You could see it happening before him, and he was really scared, and it didn't go fully to the full length because of, I truly believe he will see that in time when he's ready for that. But of course, some people never do, you know, and I do understand that as well. But that night I was like, yes. And so one of my personal prayers has been just for the Lord to just show me things that I never get comfortable, so comfortable that I think, been there, done that. I know God does this, but I don't know about that. I have a dear, dear friend of mine who, he actually was living in Cape Town. He's now back in the States. So just precious, Micah Mitchell. Some of you may know him. His mother and father were some of the people that booked me a lot in Louisiana to go and speak. And Micah tells stories all the time. One of the things that God did through him while he was in Africa. And one of the things he challenged me in my faith to pray, that I know God did a mighty work, was he challenged me to pray even in the shadows that we leave as we walk by, that God will do a work even in the shadows. And so I started praying that over my children while they're in the military. And in particular, Matt was sharing one of his stories of being in Afghanistan. And Lucia and I, I felt an overwhelming of the Holy Spirit to say that we needed to pray. She did too at the same time. So we couldn't get together. So what we did, we got on the phone together. And that day, a mighty work happened because there's really no reason that it shouldn't have been a very bad story in the military, but they were literally with their trucks in the middle of it was a road in the middle of a field. There were woods to this side, and I forget what he said over to this side. The enemy were shooting over them. We're talking about 28 hours of this warfare going on. Their weapons were melting down, and It was, I could literally feel in my heart that if we did not intercede that day, and I've had a few of these times like this, that if we did not intercede that day, I truly believe that something probably unfavorable would have happened. And it was a very difficult deployment for Matt, that he was telling me later, like that the crazy stories of what had happened, because he said they couldn't see the enemy. The enemy couldn't help but to not see them. And the enemy's pretty skilled there in that area. And he talked about like the weapons that they were shooting were getting like melting down. I mean, they are the U.S. military. Their weapons are made to go through warfare. And they were running out of ammo. And the Lord would just, because of their, God was doing things to bring safely the things that they needed to continue the fight. And it ends up no one in his company got hurt that day. And what was interesting, they didn't know what was going on, like out there away from them, because they couldn't see the enemy at the time. But it ends up several key targets were taken out that day. And I just had to sit back and go, God, even in their shadows, even in the shadows, you know, go with them and be with them. And I you'll see a lot of times on Facebook, I share a lot about revivals that are going on. I've been praying in revival around the world in places that we may not be able to ever go, but just really claiming it. And God is doing so many amazing things. So I think that the thing that we're called into today is to not settle for anything less than grasping onto everything Christ died to give us. And he's given us that authority. He's given us that power. This is our inheritance. He has done everything to take back for the kingdom of heaven to be kingdom of God right here on earth. On earth, just like in heaven. And that means everything that you would have in heaven is what you would have here on earth because of your relationship with him now. And that means everything that's not in heaven does not have to be in your life. Right. And if it is in your life, that is where an area of faith is your opportunity. Right, Leisha? I'm going to let you say something now. I just kind of took over.
You just took all the words out of my mouth. I love it. That's so true. So true. On earth as it is in heaven. If it is not in heaven, you don't have to have it in your life. It is trespassing, and you can tell it has to go. And you can command your situation to line up with the word of God. And it has to, unless you quit. That's why it's so important not to quit.
Right.
I feel like I need to say this. The power, you know, God created the word.
Okay, I'm here.
Your words, God's mouth. Hallelujah! Can you hear me?
Now okay. I'm hearing you.
We're back on. Okay. Our words have creative power, just like God's words has creative power, and we speak our world into existence. And I had a lady do a demonstration, probably about 16 years ago, and it left such an impression on me that I share it with people every time I start talking about healing. When you speak into the natural realm, those words go out into the spirit realm. And so she stood behind the podium and she had Play-Doh. And every time she would say, health and healing are in my body. I'm the healed of the Lord. I walk in divine health. And she would speak all of these healing scriptures. Every time she would speak that, she would pull a little piece of Play-Doh and she'd stack it up on top of each other on top of that podium. And before she was done, she had this huge ball of Play-Doh. And she said, this is what happens when you speak the word of God into the spirit realm. You are pulling what you want together, and your faith is going to pull it out of the spiritual realm into the natural realm. So the scripture verses that you stand on for healing, for peace in your mind, for prosperity, for joy, whatever it is you need, as you speak those verses out into the air, they go out into the spirit realm and they start creating your future that's going to manifest in the natural realm. I love it. That's all.
Oh, so good. So good. Anybody else want to jump in? Okay. Woo. I am full. This is feeling good. Okay. Well, tomorrow night, we have Miss Michelle live in the room. Michelle, you want to hop in and just give us a quick word?
So tomorrow, we are looking to set our pasts free. I'm going to be offering, it's going to be a little bit different, and I'm going to say this at the beginning of the class tomorrow. I feel like my talk is for women who are not going to come, because there is still some healing to do. So I think So what I'm hoping is the sisters that show up will be able to pass on the information they get tomorrow to the women that need some encouragement in that area and some of our broken parts. So that's the goal tomorrow, is to kind of link arms and move through that together and get some equipping tomorrow as well.
Very good. Very good. And so bring your friend too.
They can be in their pajamas and, you know, go dark. It's fine.
Yes. We're not going to judge anybody who's dark tomorrow night. As a matter of fact, if the cameras need to be off because of tears or anything, we are not a, we're totally safe space. And then I see Kim here too in the room. She's going to be here Friday night. Kim? I see her like muted. Oh goodness, I'm so excited. This has been so incredible. You guys are so awesome. And Lucia, I just have to thank you for tonight, because, you know, here's the thing. Through the years, Lucia and I have been so close, and she has been that person that what you heard tonight, you can listen to this again and again. It would be like getting a phone call from, or calling Lucia and what she would tell you with whatever you're facing in your life, because it's walked me through losing babies. It's walked me through divorce. It's walked me through moving out of my home of all those years and years, and the subsequent losses of all so many things. It's walked me through when I've struggled with my family and my kids, my job, my relationships. It has been there when I've struggled with money, when I have struggled with depression. And those are the very words that whatever we face, that's your answer. And that's the beautiful part. This is your victory. This is where you don't have to walk in the same stuff, and you don't have to be defeated. To me, that's the best news, is that defeat is not our story. This is not what God says we have to settle and just try to get by. And when we get to heaven, everything's going to be better. This is earth today. This is what is ours today. His kingdom here on earth as in heaven.
Amen. Amen. That's right. Don't settle for anything less.
No. Because I believe if we do, then I believe that's where we've listened to the story of the enemy. Yeah. And why are we going to let him be victorious when that is not his name?
That's right.
That's not his inheritance. That's not his story. It's already been determined. That is not his. That is ours. And we're not going to let him steal our identity.
Amen. That's so good. I love the way everything is fitting together.
Mm-hmm.
It's so good.
Well, do you want to pray for us as we wrap up tonight, Lucia?
Okay. Yes. Father, I just thank you for the sweet fellowship around your word that we've had tonight, Lord. And I pray that it will continue to resonate in these ladies' hearts, Lord. I thank you that it has built their faith to go to the next level. And Father, again, I thank you that your word will not return void, but it will accomplish what it's sent out to do. Father, I thank you, and I just speak blessings over each one that has been in the room tonight, that has been here tonight, and it may not be here now, Father. God, we love you, we praise you, we give you all the glory for what you're doing in this conference. And we ask this and praise you in your mighty son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Okay. I'm going to real quick. I just feel kind of led just then while we were praying. If y'all got just a few more minutes, I'm going to stop recording. And hold on. Okay. Yes.